he took. She was there with him too. That was also her journey of faith that we talked about last week. We focused on Abraham, but there was Sarah. She also packed the bags when God said, you need to leave and go into that promised land, leave Haran and leave Ur. She left too and went with him. And she endured those dangers on every side. And she spent her life living in a tent in a strange land. And without question, God used her in the life of Abraham to encourage him, to lift him up, maybe sometimes to rebuke him. I don't doubt. But now, here in Hebrews 11, we are encouraged to see her testimony of powerful faith. And the key message, above all, I think, is this. There's no promise too great for God to fulfill. God is always in every situation worthy of our faith. And you're going to find yourself, as you trust Him, blessed, just like Sarah was. By the way, that term blessed, some people interpret that happy, but it's deeper than that. It's a joy in the Lord that Sarah found in her God as she trusted Him. And it can be yours. He's worthy of your faith. So let's look at this. I first want you to see God's incredible promise. Last week, we looked at God's promise to Abraham, and we're going to review that a little bit here in these verses, although we're going to look at things from Sarah's perspective, too. Genesis 12, here is the Lord's first message. He was then Abram. He had not yet been renamed Abraham. And the Lord said unto him there in Haran, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. And we move forward. We see God's promise in Genesis 13:16. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. In Genesis 15, verse 5, and he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward the heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. Now, this is a pretty wonderful message to receive from God, isn't it? God says, follow me, and here is the great blessing you're going to receive. Abraham could know his name was not going to die out, that he's not going to leave a small inheritance just to his servants, but he's going to have a son, and from that son would come a great nation. And from that nation would come one who would bless all his people in an infinite way, a Savior. And I think our Lord Jesus Christ, we talked about this last week, said of Abraham that he saw my day and was glad. I think he realized in these promises, a Savior's coming, and it's going to come from my descendants, and it's going to be that one that I'm looking to that will give his life and redeem his people from their sins. And so there's a greater hope, not just for many descendants, and not just for a promised land, but for a Savior. And of course, from that Savior, all nations are blessed. We sang Father Abraham with the kids. I joke that when I'm late, it's not really a joke, I think it's true, when I'm late for class, that Karen starts playing Father Abraham because she knows that wears me out. That's the last song I want to pick because of all the activities. But you know, it's got a very true message. I'm not a Jewish person, but you know, I am a child of God just like Abraham. And I have faith just like Abraham. God's blessing is upon me like him. So we can say kind of Father Abraham because I'm following that example of faith. This is a wonderful promise. But again, let's consider Sarah's perspective. This wasn't just to Abraham. It was to her too, wasn't it? Genesis 17, verse 15. And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai, thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her and give thee a son of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. And then in Genesis 18, the Lord Himself, the pre-incarnate Lord Jesus Christ, I believe that who is speaking here, and He comes to Abraham's tent. And He says unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Particularly in this time, and really it has always been the case, that one of the greatest desires a woman can have is to hold that baby in their arms. There's a, in many women, most women, there's a natural motherly instinct that God gives. There's that yearning. And I do not doubt, without question, Sarah had that yearning that she had longed for years to be able to hold her own child in her arms. She probably thought about it, imagined what that child would look like. She saw other women holding their little babies. And her heart probably broke as she thought, I wish I could hold mine. I wish I could have my own child. I long for that. Well, now the Lord says, it's going to happen. You're going to have a baby. You're going to hold a son. And from him will come a great nation and great blessings. What a wonderful promise. It's an incredible promise, but it's also a promise that's requiring a lot of faith, isn't it? When God called Abraham out of his home in Haran, Sarah was already 65 years old. And she probably, in fact, I know at that point in her life, she'd accepted that I'm not going to have a child, that I'm beyond the years where I could bear a child. She's long past the time where she could conceive, and even if she did, she couldn't survive childbearing at that age. She would likely not be able to survive it. But she hears this promise. I'm going to give this land to you for an inheritance. You're going to have from you is going to come this great people. She receives this promise and she follows Abraham and she goes and sojourns in that land. And then the years begin to pass. They're there in the tents. She's still barren. She has no child. 70, 80, 90 years old. And there is still no fulfillment. How tempting it would be just to think, you know what? God has failed here. Or God has, maybe I didn't understand Him. Or maybe I was confused about what He said. But surely this promise cannot be mine. For her to believe required a hope in the supernatural. Not just that, well, some extraordinary events must happen. According to nature, this cannot happen. According to all reasoning, according to all my common sense, this cannot happen. And she must not only believe when that promise is given at 65, she's got to keep believing as the years roll by. That's an incredible promise. Let's turn the focus on us here. Do we not have some incredible promises to believe? First of all, it's incredible to accept that we are guilty before God. If you think about it. How many people out there in the world today really think they deserve the lake of fire? The idea that I deserve God's punishment? Galatians 3:10 says, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Here's how incredible this is. If you sinned but one time and spent the rest of your life giving to charity and living a saintly life in the eyes of men and praised by everyone, that one sin's enough for God to cast you into the lake of fire and leave you there forever. That's incredible. The world hears that and says, how can that be fair? How can that be a holy and righteous God? Surely my good works can make up for my bad works. It's incredible the idea that God says I'm guilty. But that's the Word of God. He says you are guilty. He says you are deserving of hell. And left to yourself, that's where you're going to go. And there's nothing you can do to make up for your sins in and of yourself. He says, that's hard to believe. Well, that's the Word of God. We just read it in Galatians 3:10. If you don't do all the works of the law, if you don't fill this Bible perfect, if you don't love the Lord your God with all your heart, you're guilty. But you know, as we lay hold of that guilt, you begin to lay hold of your sins. You begin to think about the holiness of God. If you gave attention to that, you realize it's an incredible thing I could be saved. How is it that my sins can be paid for? All the good works in the world can't do it. But here's another incredible word that in Galatians 3:13, just a couple of verses later. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. Now this is amazing. That though I can do nothing, here is Jesus Christ, the very Son of God. God would have such love on me, a guilty sinner, that He would send His only Son, unconditionally. And Jesus would willingly come to be born as a man, fulfill the word, the God perfect without a sin, and then He would go to the cross, and there He would suffer, and in that suffering, He's able to pay for every single sin of every one of His people. All that wrath of God, all that judgment, He endured fully and said at the end, it is finished. And the veil, as the choir sang, was rent in two. And that price is paid. You know, a lot of people struggle with that. That's incredible. How could God forgive me? How could God accept me? How could God love me in such a way to send His Son for me? But that's the Word of God. You must believe. That's the promise. Furthermore, it's incredible to believe that the love of God never fails His people. I quote this verse. I mentioned it in Sunday school. It's a verse you all know. And we know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. That's pretty incredible truth right there. Especially when you're in the hospital, or you're losing a loved one, or you're facing a trial or hardship and it doesn't make any sense, and you say, what is God doing? Surely there can be no good. Surely He's not caring for me in this situation. Surely He's not hearing my prayer. Surely nothing good can come out of this. It's hard to believe that promise as you follow the Lord and Satan attacks and persecution comes. It's hard to have faith that this verse is true. It's incredible to believe that Jesus Christ is really going to return in power. We read in Philippians 2, verse 10, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And we look out at this rebellious world and we see the pride of men. We see each day going on just as the last one did, with men turning against God and mocking God and Christians suffering and the world getting more wicked. And we say, how could this be? That all this world's going to melt with the fervent heat, and that even the most wicked of men will bow and say Jesus is Lord, and that Jesus Christ will truly bring all things under His feet. It's a shocking statement, but it's the Word of God we must believe. I just want to bring out to you in all these things, Sarah had an incredible promise. She said that'd be hard to believe. Well, all this word's hard to believe. In fact, left to yourself, it's impossible to believe. That's why we go out in the world and we see people say, you know, kind of mock these promises, think they're silly superstitions, a silly ritual, or not even listen to them and kind of invent their own idea of what Christianity is. But the Word of God is too incredible to believe until the grace of God gets in your heart, takes hold of your life. This is what's required of faith, though. We must believe the Word. Regardless of how our flesh says it cannot be, regardless of what the world says, regardless of what our common sense is telling us, we have to believe what God has said. That's what faith's all about. It rests on God's Word, on His truth. I want you to see, secondly, there's an incredible promise from God, but I want you to see Sarah's doubtful response. Really, with everyone in this chapter, if you study out their example, and it's true with every child of God, there's a struggle of faith. Faith is not easy, and there's always a struggle, and there's failures, and there was in Sarah's life. Pretty great failure, in fact, in Genesis 16, Sarah attempts to do things her own way. And Sarai said unto Abraham, behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee go in unto my maid, that it may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened unto the voice of Sarai, and Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. Well, God's given this promise, and here's how I think we can make that promise come to pass. You just have to marry someone else. And you know, maybe in Sarah's mindset, well, I'm being self-sacrificing here for the glory of God. And it was hard, no doubt. A great sacrifice. However, what this really comes down to is, you know, I'm struggling to believe God's Word. I'm just going to try to make things happen my way. I'm going to come up with my way. She's really putting her trust in her own ideas, not God, isn't she? You ever react to God's promises this way? God's given a promise. You know God's got a purpose, but God hasn't opened up that door, and you just kind of want to kick it open. You ever try to do that? Try to kick open doors instead of God open them for you? Maybe there's an area that you want to serve in, and you're burdened about it, and you feel like God's preparing you for it, but He has just not done it, and you kind of force your way into it. Or maybe you're serving the Lord, and you're working hard, and you're being a witness, and you're being a testimony, and you're doing what God would have you to be, and you just don't see any results, and you say, well, God's shutting that door, so I'm going to quit. That's another way we kind of try to think we're forcing God's hand, saying, surely it must not be God's will. God, I think I should move on to something else. Or maybe there's someone here today that struggles to believe the promises of this Word, And so you say, you know, I'm gonna try to come to God my way. It's hard for me to lay hold of Jesus Christ. It's hard for me to believe in this Savior that I've never seen and this work on the cross I've never seen. But I can believe in some good things that I've done and some prayers that I've prayed and some works that I've accomplished. And I'm going to put my trust in those. Oh, how destructive. Whatever situation, particularly in regards to salvation, this is leading you to disaster. It leads to disaster. That was the case with Sarah. It led to jealousy between her and Hagar. It led to suffering on all parties. For her, for Hagar, for Ishmael, for Abraham. Faith must be in God, not in us. And you need to question sometimes before you make a decision, rush into that. Am I really following the Lord or am I following my reasoning? Am I trying to force God's hand or am I trusting His Word? Real faith is exemplified by submission to His will revealed in His Word. Are we really following the Lord or are we trying to follow ourselves? That's what Sarah did at first. And that's not faith. But secondly, we see Sarah mocked God's promises. That sounds pretty serious, but really that's what happened. In Genesis 18, God comes to, the Lord Jesus Christ comes to Abraham's tent. And remember we read in verse 10, He says, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. And what does she do? How does she respond? We read in verse 12, therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? Lord, do you not see this wrinkled old woman? I look like a great grandmother. I don't look like a mother. I don't have any strength to bear or to raise a child. It would have been amazing if when I was 65, 20 years, 5 years ago or so, when I first heard it, that would have been a miracle. But now it's impossible. You know, that's what's going through her mind. Now, outwardly, she probably has a very polite look, a humble appearance. I don't think she said anything. But you know, the Lord knows what goes on in the heart. She laughed within herself, but God knows what goes on within yourself. We read in verse 13. And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laughed not, for she was afraid. And he said, nay, but thou didst laugh. It's foolish to pretend we believe, even when we're going through the outward motions of religion and obedience, when our hearts are doubting God. God would not simply have you go through the outward motions. God would not simply have you act like a Christian. He would have you trust Him from the very core of your being. And that's what He looks at. He looks at the heart. The Pharisees looked really good on the outside. But the Lord looked inside and He says, you're like a grave, beautiful on the outside, but inwardly full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Oh, I know there's a lot of people. They go to church on Sunday and then maybe even during the week profess to be a Christian and maybe even look good, but in the heart, They're far from God. They're mocking the promises. They're not laying hold of them. We need to trust Him from the very core of our being. He would have His promises be the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Of course, each of us have probably been there with Sarah, haven't we? Kind of laughing at the idea that God could do something great in my situation. Laughing at the idea that God could fill up this church building. Laughing at the idea that God could bring someone in from our outreach that we were involved in. Laughing at the idea that God could use somebody like me who has no talents and abilities to really do much for the church. Laughing at the idea that God could actually work through my great trial. Kind of like we talked about with Paul and Silas there in prison. How could God work good in this? Oh, we have a real temptation to mock. That's a sin. A lack of faith is a sin. We want to look at our situation. We want to look at how impossible it is. And we want to say, you know what, this for me not to show faith is reasonable. No, it's not. It's always a sin when you don't trust God from the very depths of your heart. We need to trust Him. That's what's demanded. That's not just an idea. That's not a bonus. That's a command. But let's see thirdly. Sarah's faithful reasoning. This chapter in Hebrews kind of shows the love and mercy of God towards His people. It's not about a failure of faith. They're not rebuked for their weaknesses, but they're set before us as an example of faith. Sarah had her weaknesses, and yet here in Hebrews 11, she's an encouragement to us. We don't read about what happened in Genesis, but clearly, as we see here in Hebrews, after the Lord rebuked her, Sarah's attitude towards God's promises changed. And I think it probably happened the very moment that He turned that piercing gaze upon her. She began to contemplate not how fantastic the promises are, but how powerful and faithful the God was that promised it. Is anything too hard for the Lord? I think those words stuck with her. I think those words were, in essence, branded upon her heart from the moment the Lord said them. Is anything too hard for me? Oh, she came to see nothing is impossible with Him. Nothing is too hard. It's not too hard for Him to give me a son. In fact, He can make me live 1,000 more years and then still give me a son. This is the one that is the giver of all life. This is the one who is the sustainer of all life, who lifts up kings and casts them down, who is one day going to redeem every single one of His people through the blood of His own Son and bring them to glory. Nothing is too hard from God. And I think from that moment, Sarah began to rejoice in the Lord's promise. I think from that moment, that promise truly became hers. It wasn't just an idea, it became a truth to her. And you know, this is the real answer when you struggle in the faith. The struggles are going to happen. I said the promises are incredible, and our flesh wars against it. We want to try to go our own way. We want to mock God's promises in our heart. But we must judge Him faithful who has promised. Paul says in 2 Timothy 1:12, he says, "For which cause, preaching the gospel, I suffer these things. I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus." Oh, I preached the gospel and got thrown in prison, beaten with rods, my feet fast in stocks. But even there I knew, and I was persuaded, He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. God's worthy to be trusted. Sinner, has God said that He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life? Then you must believe it. Though you're a sinner and He's a holy God, though you seem so guilty and He is righteous and it seems impossible, you must believe there is a Savior that has borne our sin and has risen again, and He's worthy of your trust, and you can have peace with God today if you'd look to Him. Oh, quit worrying about how weak your flesh is and how failing you are and how unworthy you are, and look to Christ. God's Word says, look into Him, you may be saved. Believer, as God said, He'll never leave us nor forsake us. You know, if it's a man, you may go through a trial. If a man had promised this, and you'd say He's forgotten. But you cannot say that about God. It is impossible for Him to lie. And He will never forsake His own. Has God told us that His Word will not return void, but that it will accomplish that which He pleased? The flesh tempts us to look at this half-empty church building and to say, well, that's not true, but it is. God said so. It's never a waste of your time to go out and to be a witness, and never a waste of time to have this gospel preached faithfully from this pulpit. And God is working, whether we see the visible results or not. He's faithful that has promised to work through us until He brings us to glory. Count Him faithful. Turn your eyes upon Him. Quit looking at the impossible situation. Quit looking at the world and what they think. Quit looking at the flesh and how weak it is. And consider the one that has promised. Has He promised it will happen? It will happen. Let's look at Sarah's wonderful reward. Several things God did for Sarah. First of all, He encouraged her faith. We read in our text that Sarah received strength to conceive. And I think that that doesn't just mean that she conceived a child, but that she received strength to believe she could, that her doubts and struggles that came as she was looking to go her own way, that they were done away with. And she turned to the Lord and she trusted Him and she found all the encouragement that she needed to rest upon His Word. Do you struggle to believe? Do you think it's beyond you to accept what you cannot see or to enjoy today from God? Well, lift up that unbelief to God. You ever pray to God, help thou mine unbelief? What we really want to do is to throw out the fleece with Gideon, right? We want God to prove it. Say, Lord, give me a little proof. And then I'll believe. But I think it's better for us just to say, Lord, help my unbelief. Help me just to trust You. Help me to have such trust I can be patient if You don't answer for a long time. Help me to have such trust I can keep on if I don't see any visible results. Help me just to keep walking this path. Give me that peace in my heart that passes understanding. And that's what God did for her. As you seek this, you'll find a faithful answer. Luke 11:13 tells us, if ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? The Comforter. That's how the Holy Spirit is described in Scripture. One that testifies of Christ. One that encourages us and illuminates our mind in the Word. God may not take away your problem. God may not give you your answer to your faith immediately where you can see a visible answer at least. But He will give the Spirit. He'll give you that encouragement. He'll strengthen your faith. But do you ask this? Do you really seek that the Lord would encourage your faith? Secondly, God perfectly fulfilled His Word. And I love this portion of Scripture, how God answered after all those years. I mean, He could have given a child right away, but He says, no, follow Me on the journey. Trust Me every step of the way. 25 years later, here's what happens. And the Lord visited Sarah, as He had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as He had spoken, for Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. At the exact time, this was always God's plan, He gave that son Isaac. And I love the name. It was always the name God purposed that that son would have, and that was Isaac. And that means laughter, is what Isaac means. Of course, we saw a different kind of laughter before Isaac was conceived when God gave that promise. Sarah struggled. She mocked God's promise. But now it's far different. She's rejoicing. This is a good laughter. This is a joyful laughter. This is a heart of rejoicing in the Lord that's bubbling up and you can't hold it in. You can't keep a smile off your face. You can't keep God's praises off your lips. You ever have something wonderful that happened to you? I know when we had your child, you probably felt that way, right? But this is the joy that awaits those that trust in God's promises. He gives a true laughter to your heart. A joy to find peace with God and encouragement throughout your life. What joy on the day the Lord saved us. We think of that debt of sin and the guilt we were feeling and the despair of sin, but then to have that lifted as we laid hold, Jesus paid it all. What joy to be able to look back at our life and see God giving peace and accomplishing His purpose in us. And what joy, the greatest laughter and joy and rejoicing of all will be the day when we're brought up to be with the Lord and we see His face one day. The Lord will cause His people to rejoice in the end. Tears along the way, it may be a struggle, but joy is going to come in the end. And that's how it was for Sarah. That's how it is for every believer. And I'm going to go a step further than that. God exceeded her expectations. Verse 12 tells us, therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. Not only did she hold that son, but from him would come that great nation. And from that nation would come a Savior that would draw all his people unto himself and redeem them from their sins and bring them to eternal glory. But then more than that, God would take Sarah and continue to use her. What a blessing. Thousands of years after her life, we're still talking about her. Thousands of years after her life, her testimony still speaks to us. The writer of Hebrews has encouraged us to go back and to look at her life and to see that testimony. And so God still says, look at Sarah. And God's still using her after all these years. The answer was really more wonderful than she could have imagined. And so it is with the hope of every believer. Ephesians 3:20 is one of my favorite verses. It says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." Do you actually believe everything in this Bible will come to pass? Anybody ever asked you that? Do you really think God's going to do everything he says? Do you think the Bible's, every part of it's actually true? Not only do I believe it's true, not only do I believe everything that God says will come to pass, I believe it's more wonderful, more glorious, more amazing than we even realize. I believe that all the pictures and all the songs and all the ideas of men fall far short of the glory that's going to be revealed. I believe no matter how people paint Jesus' picture, and I don't agree with these images of Jesus, but how wonderful they try to, and beautiful they try to make him seem, it's not going to compare to how he really looks when we see him face to face. And I don't care how people talk about what they're going to do in heaven, it's not going to come close to the real joy we're going to have when we worship him and every tear is wiped away and every bit of evil done away with forever. And looking back at our life, no matter how positive a spin we may put upon it, we will never realize, I think, until the end of it all, how great a work God is doing as we serve him. The reward is greater than we could imagine. God exceeds our expectation. But in closing, I just ask you to examine your faith. The promises are great here in this Bible. And I can give you no visible proof that God is real. I can't show you the Shekinah glory of God. I can't bring Jesus Christ in the flesh in right here for you to see. I can't show you a picture of hell or of heaven. But I can point you to this word and tell you every word is true. These promises are real. The God of the Bible is real. His judgment is real. Jesus Christ is a real Savior that you may find salvation in today. God's promises will come to pass, and heaven and glory are very real places. These are incredible promises, but He is faithful who has promised. I can't show you proof, but what I would encourage you to do is give attention to Him. If you're struggling in the faith today, give attention to the God that's given this word. Give prayer to Him that He would draw you closer to Him. Help you not to see what the world thinks, not your human reasoning to work all things out, but just to see more clearly that He is faithful who has promised. If He said it, it will come to pass. With that in mind, take a look at what He said. Think about what He's really teaching us here. This infallible Word of God, every word is true, and what amazing truths are given in this Word. But do you have the faith to believe? Only through faith may we find peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Only by faith may we find the strength to walk this path, hoping in these promises we cannot yet see. Only those of true faith will find the laughter and joy in the depths of their soul as they're brought into glory. Do you have true faith in these wonderful promises of an unfailing God today? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Sarah. We thank You for her testimony. We thank You for Your grace that brought her to such faith that she could trust You throughout all those years. We thank You for this testimony of Your love and Your chastening, Your merciful rebuke as You brought her back from her struggles with unbelief and gave her a comfort and peace in her heart. And we so rejoice to see Your great faithfulness and love to bring that final laughter and joy to her spirit. Father, what a blessing to know this isn't just a narrative of somebody that lived long ago, but a testimony of how You work in the life of each of Your people. Father, we're thankful for the promises You've given us today and the encouragement that You give and the Holy Spirit that dwells in us, that guides us and strengthens us and reproves us as we go astray. And Father, we thank You, even though we're not yet there, for the joys that lie ahead, for we know they will come to pass. But Father, help our unbelief. Strengthen us as we do go through struggles and face persecution and the naysayers of this world. Father, I pray for the unbeliever that's here. They just hear words. They hear a story. They hear a religion, but they don't hear the faithful God speak. Oh, speak to their heart today and bring them to a true understanding, a true hope in your wonderful word, in your wonderful gospel this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let's all stand, please, and turn to hymn number 252.